The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlaha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen.
Amen.
Daf Kuf Samech Tet. Today's daf is being studied at the Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem, Tenihenu ben El'Aden. Amen.
Amen.
We begin today's daf on Kuf Samech Tet, Amud Rishon. And we are 5 lines down. Starting with the words Amarmor. Amarmor, we had a statement. Chutz me'acharayut shebo. So we learned in a case where a person bought a house and he lost the shtar. So he comes to the Beit Din and he wants them to make him another shtar, that he has the house. So he said, no problem, we can make you another shtar, but we cannot include a harayut, which means, in the event that the house is taken away from you, we cannot allow you to go now after likuchot, to go and collect. Because usually when a guy buys a house, he buys it with a harayut, meaning there's a, he has the seller guarantees it. The seller guarantees that if anybody takes it from him, because he has debts, that he can go and come back to him. So the Gemara, for some reason, which the Gemara will go into today, says when you write the shtar, give him a shtar. You own the house. But do not put that he has rights to go collect from the kuhon. Maitama, what's the reason for this? So Amar Rav Safra, lefi she'en kotvim shne shtarot asadeh achat. Because you don't write two shtarot on one sadeh. Why? Dilma azil ba'al chov tarif lehay. So Gemara gives us the gezera we're worried about. Ba'al chov is going to come. And you say, listen, you come to the guy who owns the house now. Listen, the guy that sold you the house owes me money. He doesn't pay me. I'm coming after his assets. He takes the house. V'azin ha'ay u'mabik had v'tarif l'kuhot. That this guy who owns the house will take out one shtar that he has and he'll go to l'kuhot and say, listen, I bought this house with guarantees. It was taken away from me and I'll go take l'kuhot. I'll go take some properties. So far nothing's wrong. V'amar le'le ba'al chov. Well, here's the issue. We're worried that the owner of the house is going to tell the Baal Chov, Shuf li di ikumba, let me stay on the field a little more. Let's get the exact words, what that means. Right. Leave me alone. Shuf li means leave me alone. Di ikumba, which means let me stay on the field a little longer. He's going to make a trick. Don't kick me off the field. Let me stay here for 3-4 years. Once 3-4 years he's on the field, people are going to forget that he was even, the house was even taken away from him. People will think that it is indeed his house. And what is going to happen? The hadar ta terfan. Then he says, in 3 years from now, come back and repossess the house. When people forget that it was repossessed already once, come back again, repossess a second time, umabik aharina, and I'll take out the second shtar that I have, vadar azil tarif likuhot aharini, and I'll collect again. So he's going to make a deal with the Baal Chov. So listen, we have money to make over here. How can we make money? I have a way to collect twice. Don't worry, I'll split it with you. Don't worry, you'll benefit from it. Come the first time he comes, listen, I'm owed money. This house over here belongs to me. Okay, take it, no problem. Let's take the house. Then he does me a favor. And then he goes collect the kohot, because he has a shtar, right? Kohot, he has already, he collected a field now. He has a field in his backyard now, or whatever, in his portfolio. Then he comes along and tells the guy, listen, don't kick me out so fast. Let me stay on the field a little longer. When everybody forgets this situation, because I'm sitting on the field now for 3-4 more years, come back. He says, shtar, you owe me, I'm owed money. I'll give you the house. I'll go collect again from the kohot. And then I'll be able to collect twice, and you'll be part of the deal. You'll be part of the action. That's the Yizirah. It sounds quite complicated, because we could have made it much easier, Yizirah, like we explained in yesterday's daf. And the Gemara will ask that question. Would you have to go, let me stay on the field, you'll claim it again. You could have just asked, he'll go collect twice. He has 2 shtarot in his pocket. He'll go to field A and field B. The Gemara continues. Gemara says, wait. Vekevan de kara'na de shtara de malveh b'mai hadar tarifla. Oh. Which means the Baal Hov, when he came to repossess the house, how does he come? He comes with a shtar. I'm owed money. What do they do when they give him the house? They rip up the shtar. So there's no shtar anymore. So how's he coming back 5 years later or 4 years later and saying, oh, the house is mine? I mean, this trick doesn't work, because the malveh only has 1 shtar. So he can repossess the house once, but after that you rip up the shtar. So how's this plan going to work? Maybe you're going to tell me that was part of the plan. They didn't rip up the shtar. Can't be. Ve'amar Rav Nachman, kol terfa delo ketiv ba kara'ane lishtara demalve lav terpahu vechol adrachta delo ketiv ba kara'ane l'terfa lav adrachtahu vechol shuma delo ketav be kara'ane l'adrachta lav shumahi. We have 3 procedures in when we repossess somebody's asset. We have something that's called the terfa, we have something that's called an adrachta, and we have something that's called shuma. And Rambam will explain us all 3 ceremonies, all 3 situations, what you have to do to repossess a house, let's say. But the point of the Gemara is, at each stage of the repossession process, a shtar has to be written. We ripped up the tirfa, we ripped up the adrachta, we ripped up the shuma. Unless we have clear documentation that says the shtars were ripped up, we won't let the guy collect. So therefore, you can't tell me they didn't rip up the shtar. You have to rip up the shtar. It's part of the deal. So how's he going to come and collect it twice? Now let's read the procedure in the Rashbam. Rashbam gives a beautiful procedure how he repossess properties. You see, V'amar Rav Nachman, right before they get white. Kach hu ha-seder. This is the seder. Malveh ba'le bet din. The lender comes to bed din, v'tzorek ala loveh, and he screams at the borrower, shi'ipara lo chobo, hey, pay me. Mezamninan le loveh bedina. They bring him to the court. Kedamninan. V'ilo atem, if he doesn't show up to the court, the loveh, meshammetinan le. They put him in the harem, they put him in the idui. V'chutvim shtar tirfa le malveh. So the first shtar they write is called the shtar tirfa. What does that mean? Shi'elech v'yipashpesh ahar karkaotav shel loveh. Which means they're able to make exploration. To go, shtar tirfa is exploration. He can go explore all the assets of the loveh. V'chol makom shimsev v'nechasav omen l'kolot shekanu shekanu memenu ahareken yira'e shtaro lebet din shel ota a'ir. He goes and finds a field that was sold after his loan. He has rights to it. He goes and takes his tirfa to the Beit Din of that city where that field is, and he shows it to that Beit Din and says, listen, I'm a Baal Hov, I'm a Malveh, I'm owed money, here's the tirfa that the other Beit Din wrote me, I want to get that field. That field belongs to me. V'imsiru lo karkaotav l'malveh. And they'll give over the fields to him. V'ichtevu lo shtar adrachta. The next shtar they write him is an adrachta. What is that? Sheyesh shalit vedorech al nechasav shel ze ligbot chobo mehin. Adrachta means dorech.
which means we're giving you rights to go be dorech on this guy's field. The tirfa is just a signal that he gets from a bet din, he's owed money, and the guy doesn't show up to bet din, doesn't want to pay him, he can go after the kuchot. You take the tirfa to the bet din in a different town, listen, I'm owed money. Who are you? Here's my tirfa. Ah, you owed money? Okay, look at this, we see the paper, no problem. Give us the tirfa, they rip it up, they write a madrachta. We give you so-and-so rights to go on that field and repossess. Can be finished by Gozin Batra. V'shtara tirpa yikri'u. He rips up the tirpa. Ben ya'zor v'yitruf b'beddin. Akhir, of course. He might go to a different town, have a tirpa, and take another field. Now, after they give him an adrachta, what do? The yashumu ha'nechasim kedin shumat beddin. Bedin has to give an assessment how much the field is worth. The guy can't just take a field. If he's owed $1,000, he can't take a field that's worth $10,000. So the Bedin has to write a Ketav Shuma, that we assess the field, it's worth so-and-so, and the loan was so-and-so, and therefore it's worthy, and so on and so forth. So after the Adrachta, the next paper they write is a Shuma Kedri, Vekamish Bekama, Ufi HaShuma Yikachem Bechobo, Vichtov Lo Bedin Shtar Shumat HaNechasim, לדעת בכמה קיבלם. אוקיי. ומשום דשומה דעה לעולם כשיהיה לו מעות ללווה. That's a very important point. The deen is שומה דעה לעולם. They write how much the field was worth and he took it. But if the לווה ever falls into cash, he's able to go to the מלווה, pay him back the cash, and they give him the field. Which means, now he doesn't have money, he's strapped, he doesn't have cash. But let's say he has cash later on. He goes to Bet Din, gives him the cash, the Malveh, and the field comes back to the Loveh. To the Mimah Messiah. וכשיתנו לו בית דין שטר השומה, יקריאו הדרכתה. פן יעזוב ויתרוב בפעם שנית שלא כדין. So they're always ripping up the shtar before they give him the next shtar. So now we go back to our question. The Gemara said, in our story, what happened? The guy bought a house. The Baal Hof comes to the guy, buys the house, gives him a shtar, hey, I'm owed money from the seller. I'm owed money. He doesn't want to pay me. I'm taking the house. Are you taking the house? Okay, takes the house. Takes the house. The guy says, do me a favor. Let me stay here a little more. Come back in 3-4 years from now. Take it again from me, and I'll be able to go collect the second time the kohot. The Gemara says, what do you mean? How can he come the second time? He doesn't have a shtar to come the second time, the malveh. Because we rip up shtarot. There's no shtar. So Gemara says, Lo tzericha deka'ate mekowah abhate. He's coming from the claim of his father, which means the second time he comes, he doesn't come as a baal chov. He comes along and says, this field over here belongs to my father, which means
I don't need a paper.
I don't got a paper. This field over here was sold illegally. The field really belonged to my father, and this guy sold it to you, and therefore it's my father's field. He doesn't need a shtar of a malveh. He's coming along with kawah that it's his. So the second time he comes along, the first time he came along malveh. More money. So we said, the second time, how's he coming? How's he going to take it again the second time? So he said, no, he's not coming as a malveh, that he needs any shtarot like that. He's coming along and saying, this field belonged to my father. Look at the Rashbam. Lo tzericha date mekawah abhatim. Lachin, en kodvim shne shtarot. Dehashinan, dirma la mekawah alva'a yabo v'yitrof. Ele yabo v'yar'ir. Kizu asade, gazla, אז למה אבותיו זה שמכרה לך והביא עדים he's going to bring witnesses כי זו שדה אבותיו והמוכר שמכרה גז למה אבותיו והוציאוה מידו והעמידוה ביד המערער וכתבו ללוקח של טרפה מידו וכי יש לו רשות לטוף הלקוחות שקנו קרקע מן המוכר שמכרה לו שדה זו הגזולה והלך ועשה כנוניה now we're worried about the trickery that's going to happen the collusion between the lokeh and the nigzal shelakach basadeh miyado v'amal eshuf li v'aseh li v'ad dal v'eshanim od
That's the gezerah we're worried about now. He has the field. He's going to come the first year, whatever it is. Shtar, I'm owed money. Ah, you owed money? Okay, boom. He has the house, he collects some lekuchot. He tells him, let me stay here a little more. In 4 years from now, everybody forgets this story. Come back. Am I going to come back? You'll come back, you'll say that the field belongs to your father. Bring witnesses. It belongs to your father, and therefore it's stolen. We'll give you back the house. I'll be able to go collect lekuchot a second time with the second shtar, and we have a good business over here. So therefore, the Gemara says we don't write two shtarot to one field. So the Gemara says very nice gezerah. We understand the gezerah, but too complicated. You could have made it much easier, this gezerah. Like what? So Gemara says, Amma le Rabbi Hamid Ifti le Ravina, Velamma le Mimale le Baal Chov, Shuf li behai ara, Veikumba, Vetipuk le, De Kevan de Nakit Shteshtare, Tarif, Vehadar, Tarif. Make it very simple. What did you got to tell him? Let me stay on the field, come back in 3 years, take it away. Very simple. He has two shtarot. Once the field is taken away from him, why don't you just say, he'll go collect from A, he'll go collect from B. Which means, once he has two shtarot, the field is taken away from him. The first shtar, he go to Likuhon and say, listen, my field was repossessed from me, I had guarantees, I'm taking it. Okay, good. Now he goes a day later to another field somewhere else that the Mokher sold, with another shtar. What do he has to make this business? Let me stay on the field, come back in 3 years, take it away from me again. Just make it simple. Since he has two shtarot, he might collect twice, like we learned yesterday. What's the matter with that gezerah? And it says, "Imkem nefishi ale ba'ale dinim." No, there's going to be a lot of claims against him. He doesn't want to get claims against him in Bet Din. What's going to happen? He repossesses a field. He repossesses another field. People are going to be fishy. He repossessing fields. People are starting to Bet Din. Prove it. Show me. He doesn't want to do things that are going to be suspicious. Over a course of time, he can get away with it. He repossessed the biggest field was repossessed. He took the kuhot. Everything's good. 3 years later, he goes, takes another field. Then everybody can get away with it. But back to back, repossessing field. Hey, what's going on? This guy's taking all the fields of everybody. He doesn't want to arouse the suspicion. They'll take him to Bet Din and they'll start giving him trouble. So then, that's not the gezerah. The gezerah is a more drawn out gezerah that they were concerned about. Good. So now we understand the gezerah. But somebody asked yesterday a simple solution to this without having any issues. Why don't you just write him a second shtar? And basically write on the second shtar that this is the only shtar. Any other shtar that's presented is nullified. What do we write? The guy's going to pull out two shtarot and take two lekuchot. Just print on the first shtar. This is the new shtar to the exclusion of any other shtar that was written. Why can't you do that? And then you give him a chance to have a shtar, collect the kuhot, and we're not worried about the first shtar, because the first shtar already you excluded it. Look at the Gemara. Gemara says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines at the bottom, V'lichtov lehay shtara me'alya. Write a good shtar. V'lichtov tavra lemocher. Write a receipt to the mocher. Kol shtare di yipkun al arada pisulin lebar min di yipuk bizimna da. Any shtar that they pull out for this field is pasul beside this one. And give that shtar to the mocher, to the seller. Now what happens? Let's speak out what's going to happen. The guy bought a house. They come, they take it from him. Ba'alei chovot. Okay, Baal Echov will take it from him. He has a shtar. Well, hey, I bought this house. He goes to the mocher. Hey, you guaranteed me. They look at the shtar. Okay, shtar says it's guaranteed. He can go to the kuhot. He makes this trick over here again. He takes the second shtar out. No, once he takes the second shtar out, the mocher will come along with his shtar. Excuse me, I have a receipt that says the only shtar that was legal in this thing was the first one, and all other shtarot are batel and mutal.
Is the date on it?
Yeah, everything, which means just nullify it on the new shtar that you write. Put an asterisk to the exclusion of all other shtarot. He cannot present the second shtar anymore. Normally, how does he present? He's going to present, go back to the guy who sold him the house. Listen, my house was repossessed. I have a second shtar. He'll come, second shtar, he'll block it. He'll take out his receipt. Sorry, when we wrote you the second shtar, we put clearly that this is the only shtar that you can come after me, not with any other shtarot. So therefore it's blocked. It's a very simple solution to this whole dilemma. So the Gemara says, it doesn't matter, he could only come once. He could only come once. Once he comes twice, he pulls out the receipt. Yeah, here you go. Maruwa Rabbanan Kamed Rabbapa V'amri La Kamed Rab Asher Zot Omeret. What do we learn from this? Ed Kodvin Shovar. Must be, you learn from it, you don't write receipts. Which means it's not an option. Why shouldn't you write receipts? Because now you're putting it on the mocher that he has to hold this document. And if he loses this document, he's in trouble. Now, maybe the mice are going to come and eat the document like was common in those days. Oh, he's going to misplace it. So we don't put a new responsibility on the mocher to give him a document that if he loses this document now, he can get tricked. Don't write a shtar. You know what we're going to do? I'm not going to write you a second shtar. Understand? And kovim shovar. There's two ways to solve this issue. Either write him two shtarot, write him a second shtar, and nullify the other one, and give him a shovar. That's one way to protect the situation. Or don't write him a second shtar. So the Gemara says, you know what I learned from here? From the fact that they didn't give the option to write a shovar, I learned from it, and kovim shovar. Because again, the mocher didn't do anything wrong over here. He sold his house. It was repossessed by fine. By writing a shovar now, you're putting the mocher in a position that now this is his whole life, this document. If he loses this document, he's up the creek, because now the other guy can come along and collect twice. We don't put the mocher in that position. En kodvim shovar. Again, why? Because shema yichlu achbarim and stuff like that. So comes Gemara and says, Amar lehu. Gemara says, no, you can't prove from here, because it's really a big mahloka throughout Shas. Do you write a shovar or don't you write a shovar? In cases. So the Gemara says, well, you know what I learned from here? En kodvim shovar. Gemara says, no, not so fast. Amar lehu be'alma kodvim shovar. I could argue that really normally in a regular case you'll write a shovar. Le'acha haynu ta'ama didilma azil ba'alhov v'tarif mineh delokeyah v'azil iyu v'tarif lekuchot v'shovar gave lekuchot leka. Oh. Gemara says, you know why you don't write a shovar in this case? Because the shovar is not going to help you. We like it to normally we'll write receipts in other cases. But in this case, the Shuvah is not going to help you. Why? Because where does the guy whose house repossessed, where does he go? He doesn't go back to the guy who sold it to him. He goes straight to Likuhot. Are Likuhot holding any receipts? They're not holding the receipt. The receipt is by the seller. His house is repossessed. He takes out a shtar. He goes to a field that was sold. He looks at the registry, all fields that were sold by the seller. He goes to him, listen, by the way, my house was repossessed. The seller guaranteed it to me, and he sold you a field after. Please, here's my shtar. Thank you very much. Thanks. He goes now a couple of years later, whatever it is. He has a second shtar in his pocket. My field was repossessed. It was sold to me by this guy. Here's my shtar. Now, these guys don't have receipts. They don't have nothing. They just see a shtar. They're going to, okay, must be, we got to give him over the field. So that's the concern over here. That even if you write a shovar for the mukhir, it's not going to stop the collusion over here. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Exactly. Sof sof, likuhot, lav amre, de'ara,
Let's just get the right place. Good. So Kadosh Gavran says, Sof Sof, bottom line, Lakuhot, Lav Amare, De Ara Hadre. What's that question? Look at Ashbam. Ashbam says, Sof Sof, Lav Negabe Mocher Azle, Bitmiha, Litzok Al Sadeu Shetarav Baal Hov De Mocher, which means, what's going to happen once the Likahot get their field taken away from them? Where's the next stop that they go? To the guy that sold them the field. What's the guy that sold them the field? He'll say, oh, wait, it was illegal. Hey, oh, here's my Shovar. Which means, you're right, the guy will go to Likahot. But the Likahot eventually go back to the seller. And they say, hey, you owe, because they also bought with Achrayut. They also bought with the responsibility. So they're going to go back to the Mokher. The Mokher will say, oh, it was illegal. Shtar. Shovar. So therefore the Gemara is going back to its question. Why not write a Shovar? The Shovar can still protect the collusion over here. He'll go to the Kuchot. Okay, the first the Kuchot, the Shtar, he gives him. He'll go back to the first guy, the Mokher. The Mokher will say, listen, it's true, I did sell it to him, and okay, I owe you. Now, a couple years later, he'll go to the second guy, the Kuchot. What's going to happen? The call is going to go back to the Mokher. The Mokher says, hey, by the way, what he did was illegal because I have a Shovar that says that the second Shtar over here is worthless. So what's the problem? The Shovar has a value over here. Gemara says, you're right, but you know what? Adehachi veachi shamit veachil peri. Oh, in the interim, until you kick the guy off the field, he's going to eat the perot. He's eating perot. Again, he took the field, repossessed the field. Right? Now the lokeya goes back to the mocher. In the interim, it doesn't happen in 2 days. It's a process. He goes back, beddin, in the interim, the guy took the field already. He's eating all the fruit. So now, it's not so simple. Go now, assess how much fruit was eaten, try to get money out of him now to pay for it. It's a headache until you're right, the field will go back. But not before the guy had time to eat pirot. Look at Ashbam. Ashbam says, yeah, okay, we read this sof. Yeah, so Ashbam really is on the top over there. He says over here, ubetoch kach, I'm reading the first Rashbam. Ubetoch kach, it's like the eighth line in Rashbam. Sheyelech el ha-mocher v'yir'e lo ha-shovar, shamit v'achil peri. In the interim, he's going to eat perot, uchdemasik v'aziv v'kashe gezer ne'echal. It's hard to get that money back, which means, if I stole something, and I still have it in my possession, I give it back. But gezer that was eaten, it's hard to collect gizzard that was eaten already. I owe you money now. I'm not paying you. Get the money out of me. It's a headache. So the Gemara says, that's what we're worried about. Which means, the Shovar is not going to help you over here. You're right, the Likuchot are going to go back to the Mocher. And the Mocher is going to say, oh, he took it illegally. I have a Shovar that clearly says that the second Shtar is invalid. Okay, so go get it back from him. Okay, they'll go to Beit Din will repossess the field back from this guy and give it back to the guy that it belonged to. But in the interim, what happened? He ate. Oh, now go pay. I don't have the money. It's hard to do this. So therefore, the Shovar is not good. So the only way to solve it is what? Don't write him a second shtar. It's the only way you can solve it. So comes the Gemara and says, Iname, or a simple answer. He'll go repossess the field from a guy that bought it without achrayut. So he can't go back to the seller. Which means the only time he goes back to the seller is if he bought by achrayut. Hey, listen, my field was repossessed. He'll go back to the original guy. The guy will take a shovar out and covers it. But let's say he goes to a guy that he bought without achrayut. The guy was a fool. He bought a field without any response. So he has no recourse. So we're worried about that situation over there. So the Shovar is not going to help you. Because the Shovar only helps if we'll go back to the guy who sold it to him and I'll show him the Shovar.
But if he's never going to go back, like in the case where a guy bought a field without the Haritz, so what's going to happen? He'll collect twice. So they put a Shabbat to them. So the only solution we have is don't write two shtarot. I went through all the options over here and we come out. You cannot write two shtarot.
The Gemara has a question now. Shtare halva'a name. Oh. What's the question? What's shtar halva'a?
Shtar halva'a is loans.
That's bam. If that's the reason that you say you don't write a shovar, what's the case over here? Look at the top Rashbam, top line in Rashbam. You can have a case. Guy lent money and he lost his shtar. שנכתב לו שטרה או פרה מקצת חובו דקודבים שובל ללווה ויפרה חובו למלווה, which means by regular case of מלווה, what happens? A guy pays his old money, comes to בית דין, he says, רבותיי, I lost my shtar. Oh, we're worried now. You write him another shtar, he has two shtarot maybe now, he'll collect twice. And you know what we do in that case? Shovar. We give the Lové a receipt, that what? And on it says, listen, he can only present one shtar. So therefore, when he comes with the first shtar, okay, first shtar, he pays him. If he comes with a second shtar, he pulls out his shovar. Okay, that's the Gemara's din. You write a shovar for the Lové. Oh, but if you're telling me now that you're worried about all this business over here, that what? He might go to collect from somewhere else, and this guy doesn't have a shovar, the Lové is holding the shovar. The Lové doesn't always have money. He might go to Likuhot. If you're giving him two shtarot, he might be able to collect twice. And especially you tell him he's going to go to somebody that bought a field without the harayut, he's not going to go back to the Lové. So why do you write a shovar? How does writing a shovar for the Lové help you over here? So Gemara says, Gemara says, so Gemara gives an answer. Hatam dezuze masik. Amar paise baalchov bezuze. Achad ara masik. Medai adre. Demand masik ara bezuze. Lo mefayes. So Gemara says like this. It's a general rule that if a person is owed money, so he'll be appeased when he gets paid with money. However, when a person is owed karka, he's not going to be appeased unless he has karka. He's not going to be appeased with money. What does this do for us? Rashbam. Rashbam says hatam. You see Rashbam? Hatam. Gabe halva'ot. What's a halva'a? Halva'a is kesef. Kevan dezuze masik be malve lelove. Lo shavke le lekuchot karka shelahem le malve ad shilku etz lelove lada'at im par'u zuze. Which means the love borrowed money. What are we worried about? The malve has two shtarot. Right, rabbis, I lost my shtar. So what do we say? Oh, don't worry. We'll write you another shtar. And we'll give a shovah to the love. And we're worried. He might go to these guys, collect twice. They don't have a shovah. We're not worried. You know why? Because what is he going to do, the malve? He's going to take a shtar, take karka. He's not taking money from them. He's taking karka. The guy says to himself, who was repossessed his karka, says, hey, listen, the guy was borrowed money. He's taken karka. Why would he take karka? Normally when a guy borrows, lends money, he wants money back. So automatically he's going to go back to the Lové and say, what's going on over here? And what's going to end up happening? I'll say, hey,
He took it illegally. Hey, I have a shavad. Which means there's a red flag in this case. When a guy lends money, he wants money back. So when he goes to the likuhot are going to say, why is this guy taking karka? He borrowed money, he wants karka back? Then let me go to the Lovin and ask what's going on over here. Which means, well, he doesn't want field. Even though there's no ahrayut, he's going to go back to the Lovin and say, listen, what's going on with this guy? He says, hey, don't, you gave him the field? Don't give it to him. I have a shuvah, hey, he collected it twice. So I'm never worried because I always have a way that he'll get caught in the Lovin case. But in the case of karka, where he bought a house, how is he going to be appeased? With more fields, with another field. He bought one field, it was repossessed. He'll be happy with another field. So when, in the case of fields, mekach o memkar, meaning a house, let's say, he's going to go, his house was repossessed. Very good. Taken away. The Baal Chov came. Hey, I'm owed this. Okay, owed this, take it. He takes his first start, he goes to the kuhot. He said, I bought a house, it was repossessed, I'm taking yours. What does he say? Yeah, it makes sense. Why do I have to go back to the... Why do I have to go back to the original seller? This is normal. So therefore, it's possible that even though you're going to write a shuvar, the lekuhot are never going to go back to verify. But she'ekin in a love case, they'll go back and verify. Understand the haluk? Again, when it's a land-to-land deal, the person that he's going to take from is not going to go back and verify. Because she says it makes sense. He was repossessed land. He's taking land. What do I got to check it out for? This is the emet. But she ain't came when it's a money land situation, which was he was owed money. He's repossessing land. The guy who gets repossessed land says, "Wait, why is he so happy to take land? Let me go back and check what's going on. Go back to the Lovay. What's the Lovay going to say? You gave him the land. Take it back. There's a shuvar. So a shuvar can protect a halva'a situation." But a shuvar cannot protect necessarily a land situation. Gemara continues. Amar Mor. Chutz min aharayut shivo. Okay, so now we go back to the logistics. So what do you say? Guy comes and he has a house. He says, Mechila Rabotai, I lost my shtar. So, could you write me a new one? We have a problem. We don't write two shtarot. Okay, no problem. We'll write it, but the second shtar that we write is not going to give you permission to collect from the kohot, which means he wants a deed. I just want to know, show that it's my house. Okay. Write him a deed, but without ability to go to the kohot for the gizana that we just mentioned. So the Gemara asks, Hechi Kadvina. What do they write? We want to know the nosach. What's the text? Amar Rav Nachman, Dicheti Vehacheh. They write the following. Shtara denam. Dela l'migbe be lo m'mesha'bede ve lo m'bene hare. Good. This shtar that we're writing does not give him ability to collect, not from m'sha'bede, from fields that were sold with afterwards, nor can he collect from money of the seller, which means there's no collection from this shtar. Ela hechi ditikum ara biyade delokeyah. Only we're writing the shtar as a deed, so it'll be in the possession of the buyer. A deed, simple. He is the owner, no right for collections. Amar Avrafram. So now we have a point there. Which means, let's discuss. You have to beferush write in the shtar. There is no ability to collect from Mishabede. You have to write that in there. Now let's talk about a machloka that we discussed a few times already in Shas that we learned. When you have a shtar, and a guy sold the house, let's say, right? The guy, they write up the shtar. And the sofer forgot to write, or sofer did not write, that there's guarantees on it. So you remember we had a machloka, do you say that the sofer made a ta'ut sofer? The sofer forgot to write. Because who buys a house without guarantees? So something so vital, if you don't see it in the shtar, you say, for sure they forgot it. Or do you say, no, they didn't write it, because they didn't write it. There's a reason why they didn't write it. So from this Gemara, we could prove who's right in that Mahloket. Because what do you say you have to write in the second Shtar? You have to clearly write. And there is no She'arud. He cannot go after the Kohot. Oh, so what is that proof to us over here? That if you write Stam, just write Stam, don't say anything. Just say, he is the owner of the house. Because if we just write, he is the owner of the house, we would assume that She'arudim is there. Because we say it's a Ta'ot Sofer. So from the fact that you have to write it Befirush to the negative, there is no. So from here we can prove that Stam, we say there is. So the Gemara proves from here, the Gemara says, Amar Afrafram, Zot Omeret, Acharayut, Ta'ut Soferu. From here you could learn that when you have a star that's written Stam, without Acharayut, you could assume that the Sofer forgot it, and therefore automatically you collect from the She'arudim. Ta'ma de katav lehache, because only because she wrote the negative. Ha lo katav lehache, gabbe. But if you didn't write it, meaning they just wrote, he is the owner, we would assume, ta'ut sofer, and if you'd be able to even collect from the Likurot. It's a nice proof. Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar, acharayut lav ta'ut sofer. Rav Ashi comes along and says, acharayut is not considered ta'ut sofer. Which means, what does it mean, acharayut lav ta'ut sofer? That means, when you write a shtar, and you leave out acharayut, it's left out on purpose. We don't say, oh, he forgot it. Stam, you follow what's written. Umay chutz me'acharayut shebo, de'lo katuv be'acharayut. Very good. You know what this case is talking about? When it said, write in the shtar, chutz me'acharayut, you don't have to write those words. Chutz me'acharayut, just don't discuss it at all. That's what the Gemara meant. The nosach that you're going to put on the new shtar is, so-and-so is the owner of the field. That's it. Chutz min acharayut doesn't mean you have to write chutz min acharayut. Just leave it out. Don't write anything. And I follow a shtar. I don't say this ta'ut sofer. So you have no ra'aya. We thought originally that you have to write the negative. Chutz min acharayut. Gemara says, no, Rav Ashi, you don't have to write chutz min acharayut. Chutz min acharayut means don't discuss acharayut. And therefore by not discussing it, we'll assume that there was no acharayut. So you have no ra'aya. No. He has only one shtar. The second shtar, he cannot collect the harayut.
Otan. No.
He
doesn't say.
You're right. So he's going to take out the second shtar. There's no harayut in the second shtar. The Gemara is saying. No. The first shtar is harayut. The first shtar, of course, is harayut. The first shtar was a regular thing. The first shtar was a regular sale. I bought a house. I want the harayut. You're selling it to me. I want you to guarantee your own. Harayut. Now I say, I lost my shtar. I come to the Beddin. I will write you a second shtar. But we cannot write you a harayut. Okay, don't write me a harayut. So now the Gemara is just discussing how do they word it. So originally we thought they worded befirush. No a harayut. Also, Gemara says, I'll prove to you from here that what? That stam, there is a harayut. And I assume that the Sofer made a mistake. Gemara says, no, Rav Asher says, you know you write the second shtar? You write it stam. When it said chutz min acharayut means just write it stam. He is the owner of the field. Don't say anything about the acharayut. And I assume what? There's no ta'ut sofer. And therefore, when he pulls out the second shtar, there's no acharayut. Therefore, he won't be able to collect. So you have no ra'ayah in this Gemara to the mahlokat of acharayut ta'ut sofer or not. Again, the first shtar has. Well, the guy bought it with acharayut. No. This is the second. Okay. When I buy a field, I get a shtar. Does it say acharayut in it? Of course. Why would I buy a house without a harayut? I have the shtar. I lost the shtar. I come to Beddin. Beddin, I lost the shtar. Could you write me a second one? We're talking about the second shtar that's being written. So Gemara says, oh, how do you write it? Oh, chutz meharayut shebo. You can't collect harayut twice. That's the whole gezerah. We're talking about the whole morning over here. Could you tell me the text? Okay, so we have two ways of writing the text. The first way was, write it the firush. Chutz min acharayut shebo, implying, because if you wrote stam, I would assume stam is ta'ut sofer, therefore there is acharayut. So unless you put the negative, the stam is positive. Gemara says, nah, I'll tell you when it says chutz min acharayut shebo, just means don't write anything. And I'll tell you, stam is acceptable until you actually write it. That's the Gemara's two sides. Oh, one more story. The Gemara tells the story of a lady.
He,
the Ahava Lezuze Lahu Gabra Lemizban Le Ara. A lady gave money to a certain fellow, Shaliyah, in order that he should buy her a field. Buy her a field. Azal, he went. Zavan La Chelo Baharayut. Oh. He bought the field, but he bought it without a harayut, which means she has no guarantee. If the field is taken away, it's taken away. And normally you don't buy a field without a harayut. You want to have certain guarantees? That's what he did. He went, he bought the field without a harayut. She came in front of the rabbi, Rav Nachman. Amale. So he tells the shaliach, לתיקוני שדרתיך ולא לעבדתי. He's telling the lady, you can tell the shaliach, I sent you to benefit me, not to damage me. לתיקוני שדרתיך ולא לעבדתי. I didn't send you to damage me. What kind of person wants a field without a harayut? So look at the solution that he gave. זיל זבנה מיני שלא בהחריות. Literally, go buy it from him. He's telling the lady, buy the field from him. Shelo b'harayut, v'hadar zavna nihala b'harayut. Simply buy it back from the person. He's telling the shaliach, you now go buy the field back from the person that sold it to you. It seems he didn't sell it yet. They were in contract. So the sale wasn't finalized. He must have wrote about a shtar, I bought you the field. But it wasn't consummated yet. So the rabbi said, you know what? You buy it now from this guy, and then you sell it to the lady, and you give the aharayut. Which means it's too late already. What you did with this guy, you made him a deal that you're going to buy it without, and there's no responsibility. Good. So instead of buying it for her, buy the field for yourself. After you buy the field for yourself, you sell it to the lady. And when you sell it to the lady, you'll give her the aharayut. Which is, you have to provide the aharayut now for this asset. Now the question that they ask over here is, the chaura kasher. There's a big question that we have to just deal with in the story. מאחר שהאיש נשלח על ידי האישה לקנות והוא לא קיים את שליחותו, הרי השליחות בטלה. Normally, when a shaliach doesn't fulfill his mission, his purpose, the שליחות is nullified. וממילא המכירה עצמה הייתה צריכה לבטל. So the whole thing should be null and void. What is the rabbi saying? Go buy it, sell it. You say, nothing happened. You have no responsibility. The shaliach did not fulfill his goal, so it doesn't count. So he says, which means really, the question is, let the shaliach just give back the money. He has money that he was supposed to buy the field with, right? He came back, oh, I got your field with the outer harayut. Who asked you to do that? Just give back the money. What is he saying? You go buy the field, let her go buy it from you. And that's the answer. So the Rosh answers, שבאמת המחירה נתבטלה. You're right. Really, the sale is void. Yeah, if he still has the money in his hand, he can come along and just give the money back. Okay, like you said, he didn't have the money. And he couldn't get the money back. He gave the money. So he's got to buy the karka with a new shtar, make a new shtar, as if he's the buyer, and then he resell it to the lady, and he provides the lady with a harayut.